If you need to hire, you need Indeed. You instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Stormy Bonantoni live at the Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook. Brady Cannon at our VSiN studio over at the South Point. And it has been a busy NFL Week 7 Sunday. We had 7 games wrap up in the early morning, 4 of which came down to the wire and were decided by 3 points or less in the final minute. The Lions beating the Falcons by 1, 23-22. The Browns beating the Bengals 37-34. Steelers topping the Titans 27-24. And the Saints coming out on top at home against the Panthers 27-24. So very busy day. And look into the afternoon games, Brady. Anything that's interested you or caught your eye so far as these games have gotten underway and are now almost all in the second quarter?
Yeah, exactly. They are underway just about everything in the second quarter, except for the Chargers and the Jaguars, just 5 seconds left in the first quarter there. But Los Angeles adds a touchdown. The extra point was no good. So the Chargers out in front 9-0 over the Jaguars right now. Again, just a couple of ticks left in the first quarter. They will move to the second quarter here shortly down in Los Angeles. And then also Tom Brady hits Rob Gronkowski for a touchdown just across the street over here at Allegiant Stadium to give the Buccaneers a lead. The extra point is good there. 14-10, Tampa Bay up on the Raiders with about 4 minutes left in the first half there. San Francisco was able to hold the New England Patriots to just a field goal on their last drive. So the Niners still out in front 7-3, and they are driving the ball in the red zone currently at the New England Patriots 20-yard line, facing a 2nd and 10 with about 10 minutes left in the first half there. And that gets you up to date on all the action except for the Chiefs and the Broncos, where they have just concluded the first quarter at Mile High, and the Chiefs lead the Broncos 10-6. It was 7-6 in favor of Kansas City. They added a field goal. So good job by the Broncos defense, not letting this one get out of control. However, it looked like Melvin Gordon, I believe, of the Broncos just fumbled the football. And I believe Kansas City will be going back on offense here. We've got a break in the action. They just came back from commercial. We'll update you on that one as soon as possible, Stormy.
Yep, each team with a turnover, it looks like, in the first quarter in that game. And it was still just so weird to hear you say Tom Brady hooks up with Gronk and then go to the Patriots game, because Obviously they're not there anymore, which is still a little bit of a readjustment process for me.
Well, yeah, obviously I'm still adjusting to the Chargers being in Los Angeles. You and I both spent so many years in San Diego. It's really hard for me to kick that habit. And you know, the Las Vegas Raiders, you're very accustomed to saying Oakland there, but welcoming our team now as Las Vegas becomes an NFL city, and Derek Carr and company are back on offense as he goes back to pass on 2nd and 11, looking for Henry Ruggs again. It is incomplete, but we've got a flag, and I think that is going to be pass interference. So it looks like Oakland will have new life and a new set of downs, getting closer to midfield as they try and strike back, trailing 14-10. Let me see if I can find an in-game price on that one for you, Stormy. It is currently off the board. It is locked up as they see what this flag is going to be. It appears it's defensive holding, so an automatic first down. It won't be a spot foul, it looks like. So the Raiders will still have it relatively deep in their own territory, about their own 30-yard line or so, with a fresh set of downs. The San Francisco 49ers trying a 41-yard Robbie Gould field goal, and it is through the uprights and good as they extend their lead over the New England Patriots now to 10-3. The total in that game as far as the in-game market is 44.5, and the Niners now have become a favorite in the in-game market, favored by 2.5 points. Kansas City and Denver, I mentioned 10-6 there in favor of Kansas City. They are 11.5-point favorites in the in-game market, and the Chargers out to 12.5-point favorites now in-game over the Jacksonville Jaguars, as they have a 9-0 lead there just underway in the second quarter. Jacksonville going back on offense in that one. And Tampa Bay and the Raiders, now the number is up. Tampa Bay remains a 3.5-point favorite in the in-game market. No change there from what they went off as prior to kickoff.
Yeah, 14-10 in that game with just under 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. And as far as that Chiefs-Broncos game, as you said, 10-6, Chiefs leading the way. But Patrick Mahomes just got taken down with a big sack and forced a punt. And they ultimately got pinned back all the way. On the punt, were able to pin back the Broncos down at the one-yard line. So despite taking that sack and having to give the ball to the other side, they forced them into unfortunate field position as Drew Lock takes over and tries to get the ball moving. So we'll keep an eye on that one there. But I know as we were talking to Mike Peranio a little bit, the director of the sports book here at the Mandalay Bay, we got into a little bit of the baseball talk, and I could tell you were kind of itching to go in it a little bit further. So obviously it is a very pivotal game 5 tonight in the World Series, the Fall Classic tied at 2 games apiece between the LA Dodgers and the Rays. And as we talked about a little bit earlier, an absolutely incredible finish in game 4 for the Rays to come on out on top 8-7. And just first off, before we get into the preview of tonight, just what did you think about that outcome?
It was so cool, Stormy. And I've said many times, postseason baseball is probably my favorite sport of all. It's just so amazing to watch. The drama is there with every single pitch. You know, it's so thick, you can cut it with a knife. And I just love it. And last night was really the pinnacle of that reasoning. Just an amazing finish. Mookie Betts kind of bobbles the ball in the outfield and the runner comes home. The catcher misses it. It was just a crazy, crazy finish. We were at one of our favorite watering holes here in Las Vegas called Oasis. And Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds and myself, Tony Miller, the director of race and sports at the Golden Nugget, and Anthony Curtis, a friend of the network. So we had a gang there, and I invited Danielle Alvari. She was out of town. I would have invited you. I know you were covering a football game. So we were trying to get a bunch of the VEASAN crew down to join us, but they were mostly Dodger fans there at the Oasis. And I was the one lone Rays fan with the ticket in my hand at about plus 160 or so, I believe, on Tampa Bay. So a wonderful ending there. But I've gone the other direction today. I'm going to back Clayton Kershaw tonight, and I think I laid 160. I do have a ticket on the Dodgers to win it all. I also have a ticket on the Dodgers to win in exactly 7 games. So that was really big last night to even that series at 2 apiece. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if the Dodgers go up 3-1, it may not get to 7. But I think we've got a pretty decent chance for it to get to 7. I do believe in the end the Dodgers are the better team and they will win the World Series. But it sure has been fun to watch. And again, just a game-by-game basis, I think Clayton Kershaw and company get it done tonight.
Yeah, I still just can't get over that ending. 2 outs, 2 on, 2 strikes, and Randy Arozarena just coming through as playing hero. It was a lot of fun. And you would have had another Dodger fan if Danielle Alvari was there. Obviously, she went to UCLA. She's big in the Dodgers and all of LA sports. And so, yeah, you dodged a bullet there going against your ticket, at least having one more body. But I got to say, I know that you knew I was busy, but an invite still would have been nice, Brady. My heart hurts
all right.
A little bit.
Well, next, I mean, Oasis is a very popular spot, and I actually wrote a column in Point Spread Weekly during the quarantine time over the summer. It's a very popular spot for sports bettors, sports personalities, people here that work at VEASAN, the South Point, what have you. It's kind of become a gathering spot for people in that industry, and hadn't been there in a while, so it was really fun to get together with some of the guys last night. And Stormy, next time we do it, I promise you, I'll send you an invite.
Yes, count me in. I'm excited. I will be there. Just look into this pitching matchup, though, if you could give us a little bit more insight. Obviously, it's Kershaw and Glasnow, same matchup that it was in game 1, where we saw Kershaw win that battle and the Dodgers ultimately take that first game. How important is this game for Clayton Kershaw to kind of start to turn around a little bit of that narrative that he has when it comes to the World Series and postseason baseball?
Yeah, you know, and it's such an unfortunate storyline there with Kershaw. I mean, it's true. He certainly has had his struggles in the postseason, but he's such a tremendous pitcher, really a generational pitcher that we've all been lucky enough to experience for a while now. And, you know, I grew up a San Francisco Giant fan, so I was always disgusted by the Dodgers, but Kershaw is definitely a guy that I root for. I really like him, and I marvel at how good he is at his craft. And I think that first game, Stormy, gives him a lot of confidence now coming into this second start of the World Series. I think the pressure is probably a little bit on Glasnow. The Rays, obviously that was a huge win for them last night, but I think they kind of understand that the Dodgers are the powerhouse. They are the underdog in this series, and certainly last night gave them confidence. But I think Glasnow probably has a little bit more of the pressure this evening than Kershaw does. He throws gas. You know, he gets it up there 99 miles an hour. Kershaw certainly in his later years is more of a control pitcher. If he's got the slider and the curveball working, he's very tough to hit, and we saw him do it in game one where I thought he was brilliant. One of his best performances we've seen of his entire postseason career. And I think off of that loss with Clayton Kershaw, really kind of the heart and soul of this Dodgers team, I think that team is going to be very in a very comfortable spot to see him back on the hill tonight. So I went ahead and laid the price with the Dodgers. The totals have been so hard. I told you I'm not good at totals, right? I mean, every time you want to take the under, but I think every single game, I believe all four of them have gone over. And of course, last night, what was the final score last night? Gosh, what was
8-7.
8-7. Okay, so 15 runs in total. We have some more cheering. It looks like the Chiefs are headed to pay dirt, and they are, Stormy. That'll put them up 16-6 over the Denver Broncos right now. But, the total, I think, is very dangerous territory to get involved with, and I'm staying away. I haven't bet any of the totals in the World Series yet. Been so far so good on my individual game bets. I did lose on Tampa Bay in game three, got back in the win column with Tampa Bay in game four, and I'm going to go with the Dodgers here in game five tonight.
Well, you talk about that celebration. I'm looking at the replay right now in that Chiefs and Broncos game, and it looked like Drew Lock got sacked, threw the ball away, and it went into the hands of Sorensen for the Chiefs for a pick six. So score now 16-6, and with this pending extra point, potentially 17-6. And I totally feel you on that total situation because, as we talked about, I'm not great at them either, but for whatever reason, I have had success betting baseball and betting the total. The only sport that for whatever reason I have, and you talk about how every single one has gone over so far. It's been 8 runs or more scored in every single game, including game one that was a final of 8-3. The lowest scoring game was 8 runs, so I really liked the over in this, even though the pitching matchup makes you err on the side of caution, maybe not want to. I don't know. This was one situation where I was like, over me, baby. I like it.
Well, you know, I'm with you. I think it's extremely difficult to bet unders. They're just putting all kinds of runs up on the board. The home run has been a big part of this entire postseason. We've seen, you know, it seems record number of home runs hit. So I think it's very risky territory to bet an under. It's similar to the NFL. And Stormy, offense sells, right? So all these leagues are trying to promote offense. It's becoming pretty tough for underbetters. You probably remember in the postseason, especially look at this pitching matchup, Tyler Glasnow and Clayton Kershaw. Back in the day, this total would have been about 5.5, maybe 6.5 at the most. And here we are at 8 with a couple of the best pitchers in baseball. So. Yeah. It's tough to play unders these days, and the Chargers are back in the end zone, my friend. 15-0, they are shutting out the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. Extra point on the way. And the San Francisco 49ers, boy, we talked about what a big victory this would be for Kyle Shanahan going on the road to Foxborough. They're really taking it to New England right now. 10-3 is the score, and they're knocking on the door again. It looks like they're inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah, even despite that pick by Jimmy Garoppolo, it seems like the offense has been very comfortable out there and holding the Patriots to just 3 points. In terms of that Jaguars and Chargers game, I guess that 8 is looking pretty good so far if you took that number.
Yeah, the Jaguars, just surprising to me, have not shown up at all today. We'll see if it changes in the second half. Still about 10 minutes left to go in the second quarter, and the Chargers do make the extra point this time to make it 16-0, shutting out Gardner Minshew and company. Still 14-10 in favor of the Raiders over Tampa Bay. They're at the 2-minute warning, I believe, before halftime. And Kansas City, we mentioned the pick six there of Drew Lock, 17-6 now. They lead the Broncos Broncos. The in-game spread there, Stormy, 14.5 in favor of Kansas City. The Niners, again, knocking on the door inside the 5-yard line of the New England Patriots, are now 6.5-point favorites in the in-game market. The Chargers move to 19.5-point favorites over the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Tampa Bay now a 4.5-point favorite in-game over the Raiders, so a little bit higher than we saw it prior to kickoff.
Yeah, and it does look like that Buccaneers-Raiders game, after a bit of a hot start, started to slow down a little bit as they're approaching the half with a minute 30 or so left to go. One last question before we go to break, just to round out this World Series talk. When you did bet the Dodgers to take the whole thing, how long ago did you bet that future?
I did it just before the World Series started. I had to pay like $220, $215. I can't remember if it was $215 or $220, but they were a pretty heavy favorite, and I laid the wood with it. And then I also, I want to say I got about plus $450, 4 or 5 to 1, that the Dodgers will win it in exactly 7 games. So hopefully all that works out.
Hey, I'm pulling for 7. Who doesn't like a fall classic that goes to 7 games? That's what baseball is all about, baby. We will have more NFL coverage when we come back here on the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Stick with us, Stormy Bonantoni and Brady Cannon on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome into the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, live at the Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook. My guy Brady Cannon over at the South Point in our VSiN studio, keeping an eye on all of your Week 7 NFL action this Sunday. Had a number of games that were tight, contested games in the early going. Now we've got 4 games going on right now. And after a clutch third down stop from the Raiders at midfield against the Buccaneers, they go for it on 4th, Tom Brady and company do. And now they are driving 2nd and 10, 25 seconds left in the second, trying to make something happen as they hold a 14-10 lead over the Raiders.
Yeah, Stormy, we talked about the weakness for the Las Vegas Raiders being their defense. And right now, Tom Brady having his way on offense, picking apart that defense. They're in Raider territory. Brady throws deep for the end zone here, and that's caught. I think that's going to be a touchdown. We will see. No ruling yet. It's a complete pass. Brady goes deep again from about Scotty Miller, and it is ruled a touchdown. We'll see if they review it. I think he had both feet down, and that's 20-10 in favor of Tampa Bay, as that was a touchdown from Brady to Miller from about the 35-yard line of Las Vegas. And again, to my point, the weak point of the Las Vegas Raiders, I think they're a good team, but the defense is a sore spot, and right now Bruce Arians and Tom Brady taking advantage of it.
And you know, Brady, we talked early on after the Raiders were able to get on the board first to see how Tom Brady and his offensive crew would be able to respond. And it seems like no ifs, ands, or buts. They've come out firing, and they get another one on the board just now.
And it looks like the Jacksonville Jaguars have finally put some points on the board. The running back may have been down at about the 6-inch line, but they're reviewing it now as they trail the Los Angeles Chargers 16-0. It looks like he has been ruled down at the 1-yard line. So Doug Marrone and Gardner Minshew will have 1st and goal for the Jacksonville Jaguars as they try and avoid being shut out here in the first half. Also, the San Francisco 49ers, Stormy, we talked about this team going into Foxborough and needing a victory here would be a massive one for Kyle Shanahan and company. And they have scored again. Kyle Juszczyk into the end zone for the 49ers. Now, the extra point It looked like it may have been partially blocked. There was a defender for the New England Patriots that got through on the line of scrimmage, and the kick by Robbie Gould doinked off of the upright, but the defender may have gotten a piece of it. Anyway, it is 16-3. The San Francisco 49ers leading the New England Patriots, and they have forced the Patriots to punt again. With about 4.5 minutes left in the first half, San Francisco will go on offense once again from about their own 15-yard line.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the Buccaneers' extra point is good. So 21-10 over at Allegiant Stadium, just across the way from where I am here over at the Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook. And I don't know, were you surprised at all by this Chargers game, that the fact that the Jaguars haven't really been able to create anything on offense? Because for me, honestly, my perspective coming in was that this was going to be two bad teams in a bit of an offensive shootout, nobody playing defense, but the Jags haven't been able to get anything moving in that end.
That's what our friend Wes Reynolds likes to call happy action fun time, when you get a couple of bad teams that just run up and down the field against each other. I think the Chargers are actually a pretty decent team. We spoke about this in the preview. I think they're easily the best 1-4 football team in the NFL. You look at the flip side is the Chicago Bears, who have just one loss on their ledger, and I think the Chargers are possibly better than the Bears. So anyway, I think they're a pretty good team, but I am surprised about the Jaguars and their lack of production today. We spoke about this, Stormy, that I felt, you know, the stock could probably not be any lower on Jacksonville right now than it is, and I thought they would show up and prove some people wrong. So far, I'm wrong on that one, but it looks like they have gotten on the scoreboard now. 16-6, they trail the Los Angeles Chargers with an extra point on the way. By the way, Tampa Bay now out in front 21-10, and that in-game price moves to Tampa Bay favored by 10.5, Stormy. San Francisco moves to an 8.5-point favorite in-game over New England.
And a big play over there in Denver. The return man for the Chiefs, Pringle, takes it back 102 yards for a touchdown. The extra point is good. Kansas City leads it 24-9 over Denver in Mile High. So an incredible big play to extend KC's lead.
Yeah, absolutely. The Broncos struggling. They have the pick six and then a give up a touchdown on special teams as well. That's not how you beat the Kansas City Chiefs, letting those things happen. So 24-9 there in favor of Kansas City. And a lot of action came in on Denver in the last couple of days. So right now, that money is not being well spent. We will see how it holds up here in the second half.
A little bit on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Did you know the Circa Mega Bar will be Nevada's longest bar at 165 feet? Well, you'll get to see that and everything else Circa has to offer very soon. Opening night is nearly here, and VSiN is bringing you inside the event. We're streaming live from 10 p.m. Eastern Tuesday night through 7 a.m. Eastern Wednesday morning on VSiN.com, just so you can experience the grand opening festivities. Join Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, and the whole VSiN team for every minute of fun. It's all free all night on VSiN.com. That's certainly going to be a lot of fun. The Circa opening, I'm certainly excited for that one as we welcome you back into the Green Zone presented by BetMGM, live at the Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook, where we have had a ruckus crowd behind me over here. Brady Cannon at the VSiN studio over at the South Point. I'm sure it's been busy and fun over in your neck of the woods as well, Brady.
Yeah, absolutely. And Stormy, I don't know if you're able to see this 49er Patriot game, but this is pretty darn impressive. We'll see if Kyle Shanahan Shanahan can hang on this time around. Of course, it was a Super Bowl a few years ago when he was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, had a big lead on Bill Belichick and those Patriots that he eventually squandered. But right now, they are leading the New England Patriots 16-3, and Jimmy G and company are on the move again. And we know Raheem Mostert is going to be out for a few weeks, and Jerick McKinnon is basically replacing him, but we've seen actually a couple of different contributors to the San Francisco running game today. You had Jeff Wilson score a touchdown. You saw Kyle Juszczyk get in for a touchdown, the fullback. And now Jamichael Hasty, the running back out of Baylor, just running like a man possessed, lowering his shoulder, caught a pass out of the backfield and scampered for a good 15, 20 yards or so. Right now, the 49ers are just absolutely killing the New England Patriots in every facet of this ballgame.
I'm so glad that you can help me envision it, because I don't have that on one of the screens right in front of me. So I'm doing like one of these constantly so that I can watch my Niners a little bit. But I was curious, I didn't see your bets last week. Were you one of those people that thought the line in the 49ers Rams game was a bit of an over adjustment? Did you get it at that 3.5 range?
I did. I bet the 49ers last week. You know, it just seemed you had a division matchup, obviously, with the Rams. The 49, and you know this being a 49er fan, Stormy, they have a long history with the Rams. That game definitely had their attention. And the 49ers were embarrassed by the Miami Dolphins the week before. And so that's usually a good spot when a good team should respond. And certainly it was that exactly for the 49ers. And I think there was also a little bit of overvalue on the Rams. If you look at who they've beaten, it's been everybody from the NFC East. And we know about those teams. They're not very good. Now, I also think the Rams are a pretty good team. I picked them to win the NFC West prior to the season beginning. But that particular spot I thought was very good for San Francisco. And boy, they've picked up right where they left off. They look very good today.
Yeah, and we'll get into a little bit of that Monday Night Football matchup at some point here pretty soon between the Bears and the Rams. But you mentioned, you know, the NFC least, as we call it, with that East division. And I remember the days when the NFC West was the NFC best. Like, that's what I'm hoping to get back to form, is that group of four really being at the top of their game.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can argue they are the best division in football. The NFC South is pretty solid as well, with the Saints and the Buccaneers and the Panthers have come along. But I think the NFC West probably is the best division in football. I mean, the Cardinals are probably the worst team in the division, and they're not too bad. You know, Seattle and the Rams and the Niners all look really good. It's going to be an interesting division to watch. I expected the 49ers to have a little bit of a hangover, as the Super Bowl loser typically does, and they certainly have had their struggles this year, but I give them a heck of a lot of credit for the effort they have put up so far in the first half. There's just about a minute now left in this game as Jimmy Garoppolo hits Deebo Samuel as they push this down further into New England territory, looking to add another score before they go to the locker room. Already ahead 16-3 on New England. Also, Jacksonville did get in the end zone, Stormy, and they went for a 2-point conversion.
There we go.
And they convert it. So just an 8-point deficit now with the Chargers and the Jaguars, 16-8 in favor of Los Angeles there. So a good move by Doug Marrone and the Jaguars to cut that deficit to just one score of 8.
All right, we got ourselves a football game.
Jeff Wilson again.
Yeah, Wilson.
Boy, this is pretty amazing. The Niners really came to play. And I think by the same token, Stormy, it's also surprising. I mean, are we really seeing that the Patriots are this bad? They were awful last week. Are they really lousy?
Well, and you know, I really thought that they were going to come out this week and have success. Whether this game was competitive or whether the Patriots were going to end up on top was really more so the way that I was initially leaning. And maybe that's just because I am a 49ers fan and I don't like to get too excited and I get anxious about watching my team and I always think we're going to lose and the sky is falling. But no, I really thought that New England, given the amount of practice that they were actually able to have as a group and to have Cam Newton working in that system again, that they were going to be able to do something have one of their better games today, and it has not been the case at all. 49ers lead it 23-3 with just under a minute left to go in the half, and I'm excited just talking about it. This is great.
Yeah, you and me both. It's cool to see, and I tell you, hats off to Kyle Shanahan and this team getting prepared for this game, because I was with you. I expected the Patriots to rebound off of their effort last week, and we saw the line adjust. I thought that was maybe, you know, we talked about the look ahead line in the Rams 49ers game, and maybe that was a little bit much of an adjustment. I thought maybe it was a little bit much here too. I made this line 2.5 in favor of the Patriots, which is pretty much exactly what it was for most of the week. It did move to 3 here on game day before kickoff. You know, we still have another half of football left to play, and we've seen Belichick do it to Shanahan before, but right now the 49ers looking incredibly impressive as the Chargers punt the ball back to the Jacksonville Jaguars. A good defensive stand there for Jacksonville with about 4 minutes left in the first half there. We mentioned Jacksonville trailing just 16-8, and the Denver Broncos really not able to get much of anything going, Stormy. Still trailing Kansas City at home 24-9.
Yep, 2:55 left in the first half there. And just speaking to Bill Belichick and the Patriots, yes, he's certainly a coach that knows how to make second half adjustments. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one and see what happens there. But the 49ers and Jeff Wilson getting 2 touchdowns, having an exciting day so far. He's nearing that 100-yard mark for rushing for Jeff Wilson.
No Raheem Mostert, no problem.
No Raheem Mostert, no problem. Love it so much. When we come back here on the Green Zone presented by BetMGM, we'll dive a little bit into that Sunday night football matchup as well as Monday night football and give you a quick update on the Zozo Championship. Brady, I know how much you love talking golf, obviously the host of our Long Shots show. So we will be back with all of that in just a little bit on the Green Zone presented by BetMGM live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Game means something more at BetMGM Sports, and new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on any pro football team to score a touchdown. Just sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 and take advantage of this special offer. If you're ready for showtime, then you are ready for BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today and use that promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on any pro football team to score a touchdown. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back into the Green Zone as week 7, this NFL Sunday continues. Stormy Bonantoni here live at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Sportsbook. Stormy Bonantoni here, Brady Cannon over at our VSiN studio at the South Point. This show, of course, presented as always by BetMGM. And it's been a fun, busy day in the NFL. So we will certainly make sure we preview the Sunday and Monday night matchups. But first, I knew you wanted to talk a little bit of that Zozo Championship coming into today. It was Justin Thomas and John Rahm at the top of that leaderboard, and it continues to be that way. They're tied right now at 22 under, it appears.
Yeah, they're running away with this. Patrick Cantlay, who won the Shriners Open here in Las Vegas a couple years ago, he's in second place, 2 shots back of Rahm and Thomas at 20 under par. He's still got 8 holes of golf left to play, so he could get back in the mix. Corey Connors and Cameron Champ at 19 under. Unfortunately, my guy this week was Bubba Watson, Stormy, and he's running out of holes to make a move here. He's at 18 under par through 12, obviously 4 4 shots off the lead there. I don't think he's going to make up that ground. But Justin Thomas and John Rahm, you can argue the two best golfers in the world. Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy might have something to say about that, but these two guys absolutely, certainly at the top of the golf world, and not surprising to see them at the top of the leaderboard. They each have 8 holes left to play. It's going to be quite a battle down the stretch with them tied currently.
Well, that's what I was going to say. As you look at just that leaderboard in general, scrolling through from 18 under and lower, it's a very tightly contested championship so far at the Zozo, and it's a great tune-up this final big event heading into the Masters as the next big one in a couple weeks.
That's right. Next week we go to Bermuda, and then they have the Houston Open and then the Masters. I don't think you're going to see a very good field next week in Bermuda. You will probably see a decent field at the Houston. You know, a lot of guys like to play the week before a major. A lot of guys don't. But then, of course, Augusta. And, boy, the Masters in November. That is something new for sure. But I absolutely love the Masters, so I'm looking forward to that. And I think you're probably going to see Justin Thomas and John Rahm in the mix for that one, too.
100%. That's an event that is a must watch no matter what type of a sports fan you are. I think that that's something everybody wants to go see. Augusta is just absolutely beautiful. And we were talking about it in here in studio. It's a place that I have always wanted to go, bucket list place for me. Also did want to just give a little shout out. It's Xander Schauffele's birthday. I know he's only tied for 16th, but happy birthday to your fellow San Diego State alums.
Yeah, your fellow San Diego Stater, Mr. Schauffele. I really like that guy. Great player. He didn't do too well this week, but he'll probably have something to say about the Masters as well. The 49ers, by the way, Stormy, more good news for our team here. Cam Newton was intercepted. They were moving the ball pretty well, trying to get a score there before halftime, and Newton threw a long bomb that was intercepted by the 49ers. They returned it for 49 yards. So the 49ers back in business on offense. It looks like they're at a break right now. I'm not sure where the Niners have the ball, but they did intercept Newton and trying to put another score on the board there as they currently lead the Patriots 23-3. Jacksonville has a second and goal as they try and tie this up with the Chargers. They're trailing 16-8. No change in Denver, where Kansas City is still hanging on to a 24-9 lead there. And the Raiders got the ball to begin the second half here at Allegiant Field, trailing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 21-10. The Buccaneers remain an 11.5-point favorite in that one, Stormy, in the in-game market.
Well, let's take a look at our Sunday night matchup tonight. The Seahawks at the Cardinals, total in that game 55. Seahawks favored by about 3.5. This game was the one that was switched with the Raiders game because of those COVID concerns. Ultimately, they got moved from that primetime spot, and you see this game taken over. I personally liked Seattle over the Cardinals in this one. Since his second season, Russell Wilson is 6-0-1 in the desert, averaging every win by 16.2 points. And I guess Larry Fitzgerald at some point last year said he overheard some Seattle players calling Arizona a home game for them on their schedule.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. These two teams have quite a history. They have really played some crazy games, and it seems like most of them occur in the Glendale Stadium there. We remember just a couple of seasons ago when they had all those field goals at the end. I think the game ended in a tie. It was just really wild. But I expect probably another very entertaining affair. Both of these teams are not very good on defense, and we've seen that really cause problems for Seattle and Russell Wilson. And we've seen it cause problems for Arizona as they dropped, they won a couple of games and everybody was ready to throw a party for the Cardinals, and then they lost a couple. Now, they were able to play the Cowboys last week and get healthy there, as everybody has been able to do. I don't have a real good feel for this game, Stormy. I hear you loud and clear. It's hard to bet against Russell Wilson, and I understand you want to lay the points there with that side. I kind of like getting the hook. I think Arizona is probably a home dog that people don't realize is as good at home as they appear on the surface. I think that home field advantage in Glendale is more than people realize. Now, this year, of course, that's different. There's no fans and what have you. But I probably lean a little bit with Arizona here, but I'm not going to get involved, honestly. I'm going to stay away from this one. How about you? Are you going to get on that BetMGM app of yours and go Seahawks?
I already did. So that is one that I took. I went Seattle with this one because I just feel like they are Russell Wilson so productive offensively. I want to say they lead the league in points per game and red zone efficiency. They're just really good when it comes to that. And I look at the Cardinals' last two wins, whereas you said against the Cowboys and against the Jets. Like, this is the first time in my eyes that they're facing some real steep competition in the last few weeks. And so I think it'll be a little bit of a different game. So I did do edge Seahawks in this one.
Yep, I think you make a lot of sense there. Like I say, I think you can make a lot of cases each way in this game. A lot of people are looking at the total and playing it over the total because I spoke about, both of these teams don't have great defenses. But, you know how it is with totals. We've talked about this, Stormy. And it seems when you're looking at a game, we're like, of course it's going to go over. Neither of these teams can play good defense. Well, you know, you're probably going to end up with a 17-10 ball game, right?
Yep, and it looks like the Jaguars are making this one a game against the Chargers. 14-16 right now as time's winding down in the second. You see what happened there?
I did not see the score, but obviously they went for two and did not convert this time. So they trail by just 2 points, just 11 seconds left before halftime. So the Jaguars really getting back into this ball game as they were trailing 16-0 not that long ago. By the way, an update on that 49er-Patriots game. They have gone to the half, Stormy. The 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo did go back on offense after the interception, but then Jimmy Garoppolo was intercepted, and that really led the time to the end of the break there, and they went into the locker room on that last play. So no damage there really off of the interception before the break, but 49ers maintain a 23-3 point advantage over New England.
Anybody who bet the Patriots or hates the 49ers hates this duo of you and I on this show today. So I apologize to anybody who's not a 49ers lover today, but keeping it in the NFC West, because why not? The LA Rams taking on the NFC North leading Bears tonight. Rams laying 6.
Yeah, this is another one.
Monday.
Right, Monday night, and I hate to be a cop-out here, but this is another game I don't really have a strong opinion on. I lean a little bit with the Bears. I made the line 5, and obviously it is now 6. But it doesn't feel like enough of an edge to me to make a play on the game. The one thing about the Bears is they really seem to give Jared Goff troubles. That Bears defense and Khalil Mack, somehow they are able to get in Jared Goff's head, and he just does not have typically good performances against this team. However, I do feel the Bears are a pretty fraudulent team. I don't really think they are as good as their record would indicate, and I have certainly bet against them a couple of times this season. And I do think the Rams are a pretty solid squad, and maybe they're not getting enough respect here off of that loss to the 49ers last week. So I think there's a lot of different angles and theories you can come up with in this game. But again, nothing too strong for me to go ahead and make an investment.
Yeah, I stayed out of this one, too. I thought 6 points was just a little bit too much for me, especially considering, we just talked about it with the Cardinals and their success over the NFC East. Very similar thing here with the Rams. They've really gotten all of their love against that division as well. And it's just kind of an awkward balance. I don't know. I'll be interested to see what happens in that one. They're 2-0 at home. Chicago's 3-0 on the road. So a little bit of just kind of proportional imbalance there. And then Chicago's defense has only given up 100-yard receiver this year, and it was Calvin Ridley, and they don't really give up a whole lot of passing touchdowns either, so just through the air is something I'm really going to be keeping an eye on in this one.
Yeah, they'll have their hands full with a very good receiving core for the Rams. Cooper Kupp and the name is escaping. Robert Woods, both very good weapons for Jared Goff. By the way, everything has gone to the half except for the Buccaneers and the Raiders, and Tampa Bay's on the move again, currently with a 21-10 lead, Stormy.
Yeah, fun show, Brady. Appreciate you. Coming up after us, In-Game Live with Adam Candy, Amal Shaw, and Ben Wilson. They'll gift you all those halftimes. Thanks for joining us on The Green Zone, presented by BetMGM on VSiN.